Well, I think many of us at some time or another in our life have been invited to something at somewhere for some reason. We always say this, there are invitations and then there are invitations. There are those general invitations that we receive where somebody invites you to their fourth cousin's birthday party, or maybe a retirement party, a graduation party, even a wedding, and they're nice invitations. But then there are invitations that only come around once in a lifetime. They're invitations of going someplace, of being a part of something, of a special event, that you know that if you are invited and you go to that venue, or if you go and you participate in what is being asked of you, it can alter and change the course of your life. And also, if you choose not to attend, if you reject the invitation, that too can alter and change the course of your life. Jesus speaks of this in Luke 14 when he talks about an invitation. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Luke 14 this morning. Jesus is sharing a parable about the invitation that he extends for a great banquet at the end of the age. It's an invitation that none of us here wants to miss. Pastor Dave and I will often say this, and maybe he has said this to you. There are missed opportunities, and then there are opportunities you don't want to miss. This is one of these opportunities that you do not want to miss. Now, Jesus is sharing a parable here. And I know that if you've been covering and going through a series on parables, and again, a parable is simply this. It's an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning that Jesus conveys to his audience then and for us now. Parables are not allegories where every detail has a spiritual meaning. Parables are stories of common events or things that we see that we can relate to that specifically teaches one truth or one lesson for its audience. Jesus used parables a lot to get people's attention. All of us here love a good story, don't we? I mean, I just told you about the man that got solar-powered hearing aid, and all of you could picture that. You love a story like that. Jesus would tell a parable that had a significant spiritual truth to it. In the parable of the great banquet that we're going to look at this morning, Jesus extends an invitation which can change the course of a person's life today and certainly for eternity. And so we're going to have the verses up on the screen this morning so that you can follow along. And so the parable of the great banquet. And this is how it starts out. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he, being Jesus, said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.'" Hold on, go back. "And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me be excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, bring in the poor and crippled, blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded we have done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This morning, what we want to do is we want to give some observations in regards to this parable. What do we see in this parable? We want to be able to then look at the underlining, what is the reason of why Jesus gave this parable? Why is this so important? And then we want to make some application for our life this morning. The first thing we want to look at is the banquet invitation in verses 15 to 17. It appears in this context here that in the beginning of Luke 14, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, is having a dinner party. And he has invited some of his other Pharisee friends, these teachers of the law, and Jesus is invited as well. And there appears to be a man who is reclining by a table, and he makes a statement. And the statement that this Jewish man makes is this. He said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, because this man is Jewish, there is some thinking, there is this thinking, or I should say this pompous attitude, that because we are Jews, we will get into the kingdom of God. Because we are Jews, we have access into the kingdom of God for this great feast that will occur at the end of the age. Because we are of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we are God's chosen people, the Jewish race, we will have access. We will gain entrance into the kingdom of God. That is the thinking that this man has as he reclines near this table. But certainly not the Gentiles. It will be the Jews that will enjoy this banquet, will enjoy this feast. Jesus tells this parable to help the man and those around him see that they are mistaken and that they are misinformed. Well, what do we see here in this parable? The first thing is a great banquet is planned. Whenever you invite someone to dinner in a Jewish culture, it is a big deal. Ladies, many of you have had people over to your home, and you have an incredible amount of food, and you have like this wonderful dinner, this wonderful banquet. And in the Jewish culture, when you had some kind of banquet, some kind of dinner, when you invited people over, food and relationships go together. I mean, isn't food just even better with good relationships? I don't like to eat with people I don't like, but I certainly like to eat with people that I do like. And so relationships are fostered and relationships go deeper in the Jewish culture when food is involved. Food is an expression of hospitality. It's an expression of courtesy. It's an expression of generosity. It is through food that relationships are fostered. And I have to say, I learned this the hard way. Because I have spent time overseas, and I eat fast. How many of you here eat fast? It's no sooner on the table, and I'm inhaling it, okay? And I was in Moldova several years ago, and I was sitting at the table, and I am eating, and I'm just eating and eating and eating, and all of a sudden, one of our partners goes, "Craig, what are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm eating." He goes, no, this is not good. This is not good. Do you need to be someplace?" I said, "No." He goes, "You eat so fast." He said, "Let's enjoy. Let's talk. Let's laugh. Let's grow together. What is wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing's wrong with me." He said, "Oh, this is not good. Your stomach, you will not feel well." He said, let's eat. Let's slow down. Let's enjoy our company." And I'm thinking, I don't know if I know how to slow down when it comes to eating. You know? There is something about being together. Many, many, a great banquet is planned. But we also see something else. Many are invited. This is more than just a family gathering. This could be a town. This could be a city. This could be a region where there's a massive banquet that's going on. Which means the preparation for this banquet could be enormous. Ladies, when you are preparing food for more than just your family, but there are many people coming over for Thanksgiving or Christmas or some incredible event, much preparation goes into it. And for this banquet here, much preparation goes into it because many people have been invited. The time, the effort, the sacrifice, the butchering of animals to make sure there is enough food for everyone, because it is an embarrassment in the Jewish culture if you didn't have enough food. It would be an embarrassment for us as well today. The host needs to know how many guests would be coming that they could butcher the right amount of animals and prepare a sufficient amount of food for everyone. Each of these guests agreed to attend the banquet in this parable. Remember that. Each one of these guests planned to attend the banquet. So they were expected to be there. It's like having an RSVP. Have any of you ever gotten an RSVP here? That would be a raising of a hand this morning. Yes, yes, an RSVP. Now, RSVP means something in French, okay? I do not speak French, okay? I'm not even going to try to attempt it, but it means please reply. Please reply. So it's like everyone has said we are planning on coming to this banquet. But the thing we need to understand from this parable is that the day is set. It's kind of like save the date for a wedding, okay? Save the date. You don't know what time it will be, but you know the day. And so they have set the day, but the time or the hour is undetermined. And due to the enormous amount of preparations that would be occurring in this Jewish culture, once the preparations are finished, the master or the host will send a servant out. And they will say to all that they have invited, come, dine, it's dinner time. Come, everything is ready. Hasn't that occurred to you? I mean, maybe you're standing in your living room. It's Christmas time. There's stuff going on in the kitchen. And you think, man, I am starving. I am starving. And after what Craig said today, I'm really going to try to slow down when I eat. I am starving. And all of a sudden, someone will come out from the kitchen and they'll say, everything's ready. Everything's ready. And you try to be polite and you're like, oh, that's great. Inside you're like, yes, I am starving. So the servant comes out and he says to everybody, the time has come to joy, to be together, to have relation. Be a part of this banquet. But something sad has happened that we've already read in this parable. They accepted the first invitation, but when it was time for them to come to the banquet, they began to make excuses. And we see some of those excuses. And one of the excuses has to do with a field in verse 18. Man says, I've just bought a field. I need to go and see it. Do you see something strange about that? You see something almost strange or even humorous? Here's a man who has bought a field but has not taken the time to go and even look at it. Who does that? And certainly to purchase a field that you have not seen is taking a huge risk. Besides, the field is not going anywhere. It's not like it's going to get legs and it's going to run off. It's going to be there tomorrow, but the opportunity to come to this banquet will not be here tomorrow. It is now. But the man makes the excuse and says, I just bought a field. I need to go and check it out. More than likely, this banquet is occurring in the late afternoon into the evening, where the work is done for the day. People can just relax. You ever just go over to someone's house, just, this is good. It's comfortable. You're eating, good conversation. It appears that this is happening in the afternoon into the evening. And if the man did go look at the field, would he even have enough daylight left to be able to actually examine the field? But that's his excuse for not coming to the banquet. But we also see another excuse that is similar. A man says, I can't come. I just bought 5 oxen. I need to go and try them out. Please have me excused. Again, this seems so strange. Like the field, who would buy 5 oxen without first seeing the oxen and trying them out? And it almost gives the impression in this parable that he's anxious. I've got to go. If he's so anxious, why is he waiting later on in the day to go get the oxen, gather them together, harness them, get them into the field, and see how they work together? Why is he waiting so late? He is making an excuse. I hope nobody here would ever purchase a car, whether it be new or used, without looking at it and what? Test driving it. But it appears that these two excuses are just very poor. They're very lame. There's an application here. And here's that application. Sometimes we can get sidetracked by the temporary. We can get distorted and distracted by those things that are temporary instead of holding on to those things that are permanent and even eternal. It can be a field. It can be oxen. It can be what for you? That those things have gotten in the way from something far more important. Corrie Ten Boom would say, we hold on tightly to our possessions, but loosely to the Lord, when we should be holding tightly to the Lord and loosely to our possessions. It is the possessions of our life that often can keep us away from enjoying the banquet. But there's another excuse, and it's excuse dealing with a wedding or being married. The excuse is, I just got married. He knew well in advance when he was going to be taking a wife. And preparations, like most weddings, don't happen quickly. And in this case, he should have never agreed to go to this banquet if he knew he was going to get married. And I don't think he got married on that day. It sounds like from the context that he's already married, that he recently got married. But he's like, hey, we just got married. We're not going to go. Really? My thinking is this. Why not take your wife and go to the banquet together and enjoy the day? But he is using his marriage as an excuse for not attending. And I thought, how many of us have allowed family? We've allowed a spouse. We've allowed parents. We've allowed relatives to distract us from believing and hearing the gospel of Christ. And so we never make it to the banquet. So we see this excuse here. Billy Sunday said, the person who is good at making excuses is usually not good at anything else. So we see these three excuses. Now, do those relate to you? Not at all. But you put it in our setting today, and the things that I tend to hold on to, the things that are temporary in my life, that I rush toward, and yet those things that are permanent and eternal, I tend to push off my plate. That's our excuse. It may not be a field. It may not be oxen. It may not be a spouse. But there are things that can keep us from the banquet. We see the response here in this passage of the master. Because the master responds and he becomes what? Say it with me. He is what? Angry. Say it again. Angry. Now he is not angry. The word here, anger, does not mean that he has got his fist clenched, he's ready to punch out all these people, and that he's in a rage and he's upset. No. That's not the word here of anger. The word anger here is that he is very frustrated at the response of those who have given excuses. They are very disrespectful responses. They are superficial responses. And it troubles him. And in response, the master does what? As people are making excuses saying, we can't come to the banquet even though we said we would, the master says this to his servant, you go out. You go out and you get the crippled, the lame, the blind, the poor, and you bring them in. And after this has been done, what is the response? The servant says, we've already done this, and the house is still not full. So he sent his servant out beyond the borders and the region, out, it says, in the highway and hedges of life. What is the highway and hedges of life? You ever go down to Amish country? I think the highway and hedges of life is Amish country, where you are way out. I've been in some places overseas that are the highway and hedges of life. That you are so far out, you think, are people even living out here? The highway and hedges of life is that place where there's a line of field where the homeless would be. The kind of place that Jesus came, the kind of people that Jesus came to rescue. You know, we were all homeless at one time, weren't we? All broken, all in need of help. And Jesus is the one who calls us to himself. And so he says, you go out to those people. You go out to them. And what kind of response do we see from these people? They are irresistibly drawn to the banquet. A banquet that they did not have to pay for. A banquet that they could not afford. A banquet that they did absolutely nothing to get. They just were asked to come. And they responded to the host. Notice also in the parable, he says, go out quickly. Go out quickly and do this. Not because the master is embarrassed because people have made excuses for not coming, but the master, there is a sense of urgency. The master so desires that his house is full. I want to see it full. I want to see it full. He takes great delight in those who will come to him and share in what he has for them that they can't even afford. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 24, if you have it in your Bibles there, that the master refers to this as my banquet. It's just not any banquet. It's my banquet. And underneath this story is a purpose, is a reason, is the truth. Remember, when we talk about a parable, there is one truth that the author, or Jesus here, is intending for us to know and understand. There are not many. And how many of you have read a parable that someone has said, this is this, and this is this, and this is this, okay? And before long, it's just like, no, no. Jesus is trying to share one thing, and who's he trying to share this with? Let's go back. At the beginning of the chapter, he's going to make a point to these Pharisees that think, hey, we are the ones, we're the Jewish people that are going to get in. Underneath all of this story, Jesus is saying, you Jewish leaders of the nation have rejected and declined the invitation to come to me and to believe in me. And so as a result, the servant goes beyond the region of the Jews and goes into the highways and hedges of life, out where the Gentiles are. The majority of us sitting here, if not all of us here this morning, are all what? Tell me. We're Gentiles. That the gospel and the invitation to come to the great banquet is available to all. And so Jesus is helping them to see that, wait a second, this great banquet at the end of the age, it is not just for the Jews, it is for the Gentiles. Since you are rejecting Christ's invitation to come to him, to believe in him, to dine with him, the invitation then is extended to the Gentiles. And they are more than happy to hear this good news and to respond. You say, well, where do we see that? In Acts chapter 13 is an incredible passage. Paul is in a city. He's in a synagogue. It's on the Sabbath. He's teaching about the resurrected Savior. And there are Jews that are listening, but listen, listen, listen. There are other Jews that are trying to discredit Paul. They're trying to say that what Paul is talking about is wrong. They're trying to get other people to agree with that. And so because of that, Paul finds himself becoming very frustrated with the people, and he says this in Acts 13. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. So for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed in him. all of a sudden everything changed. And what Jesus is saying in this parable is, you think you're the only ones that are going to get in? You think because you are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No, no, no. The invitation to this great banquet is for everyone. It's for all. But God is not pleased when we stiff-arm him and make excuses for not hearing and responding to the gospel of Christ and having a relationship with him. John chapter 1, verses 11 to 13 says this. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, for all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, but of man. It is a call for all to come to the banquet to celebrate being a part of the family of God by trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. What is really the meaning behind this parable? It certainly is what I had shared regarding the Jews were not just the people that were going to get into the kingdom of God. It would be anyone who will put their trust in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Just a couple things for us this morning. Number one, beware of thinking you're in when you're not. Beware of thinking that you're in when in reality, you are not. One can be religious and still very far from God. One can be religious and it even keep them from God. The parable is correcting this man's expectation. Beware of thinking, I'm in, when in reality, you may not. This is a relevant message for us this morning. Because we live in a time and in a world that people assume that they're in right relationship with God because I have done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. But we see people putting their hope in possessions, in their works, in their merit, in their heritage. The Jewish people were putting their faith in their heritage, not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's be careful in thinking that we are in when we may not be in. And let's be careful also, beware of thinking that you're in because you think other people are in as well. My mom's a prime example of that. My mom and dad don't know the Lord. I wish they did. My mom every once in a while will say, If God lets you in heaven, he better let me in, because I had to raise you. And I laugh, but I think, how sad. Remember the Tim LaHaye book, Left Behind? My mom read the very first one, Left Behind. And she said, hey, I'll tell you, if this thing you call the rapture occurs, I'll be one of those people left behind. But I know God in my own way. I thought, how sad, how sad. And so be careful in thinking, I'm in, when in reality we may not be. Second, entrance into God's kingdom requires an active response to his invitation. No response to the gospel is a response. There's no valid excuse for missing the banquet at the end of the age. But it does require a personal one-on-one relationship with the creator of the universe for those who attend. Not what we've done, but a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, God's kingdom will have a huge and diverse population. It will not just be the Jewish race, it will be Gentiles as well. You say, well, how do you know that? Great verse in Revelation 7:9 that says this, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. God invites others into his kingdom through his servants. There will be a time in heaven at this banquet that we're not separatists. There will be no place for separatists in heaven. There will not be this little group from Guatemala with a sign that says, "We are of Guatemala, we are of Guatemala." There will not be a sign, and there will not be a separatist group from Guatemala. There will not be those from Moldova that will stand there with the sign that says, "We are from Moldova, we are from Moldova." No. There will not even be a sign that says, "We are from the United States." No, that banquet will be for all. And that banquet will resonate this: we are one. We are one because we have received the good news of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. People say, "Do you really think there's going to be a banquet at the end of the age?" Absolutely. "Do you really think there's going to be food?" I believe so. If we like food here, I think there's going to be food in heaven. But the sad thing is when we look around and we know of people that made excuses for not being there. They made excuses for not receiving the gospel of Christ. Lastly, God invites others into his kingdom through his servants. It was a servant that went out and said, "Come, be a part of what's going on here. Be a part of this banquet." And that's you and I. We are pre-banquet preparation. We are prepping people for the kingdom of God, going out and inviting others to come. But the invitation to receive the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Let me say that again. The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. If you walked into my in-law's house, they've taken it down now because they did some decorating. But if you walked into my in-law's house, you would see this picture. How many of you have seen this at some time or another in your life? I walked past that, I can't tell you how many times. And I would look at it and I would say, "Oh yeah, that's nice. Yeah, an invitation." And as I was working through this parable, that came to mind. Because I think everybody would say, "I would love to be invited." And all are invited. But sadly, not all will attend. Because there will be those who will make excuses for not coming to the banquet table, for not coming to Christ. This is where you and I, as servants of Christ, need to be sharing with those about the great banquet and sharing about the incredible master that is putting that banquet on. I know you can't read that, so I'll read it for you. It says, "You are invited to dine with me from now to all eternity. Believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and dine with Jesus as your host. To live in heaven eternally, all you must do is RSVP. Two questions this morning as we have looked at this parable. Have you accepted the invitation that Jesus gives in this parable? Or are you making excuses? I think all of us know of people that make excuses for not coming to Christ. "I'm too busy. I'm not into Jesus. I'm not into church. It's not my thing." All of us can make it. How many of you made an excuse and then the Lord gave you another opportunity? That you, many of you said, "It's not for me. Those Christians are just weird." And many of you are. But we all have an excuse. I'm so thankful for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that he didn't give up on me and he didn't give up on you. So have you made that excuse? Maybe it's not about a field. Maybe it's not about oxen. Maybe it's not about a marriage, but you've made an excuse not to say, "I want to be a part of this incredible banquet at the end of the age. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin." That's question one. Have you done that? Two, do you know of anybody that's giving excuses these days that you know? And as a servant, you can go out and say, "Come, dine. It's dinner time. Come. This is a great opportunity." I just went backpacking yesterday with some of the guys that are over here from our church plant 539. There were seven of us. And myself and Rocco Bernardo, there's an Italian name, Rocco Bernardo, He and I were in a car because, this is a long story, so I'll keep it short. It's a 14-mile trail. We have one car at the trailhead. We had another car at the other trailhead. When we got to the end of the trailhead, the guy realized his keys were in this car. Okay? That's called spiritual stupidity. Okay? And we're like, what in the world are we going to do? And I had prayed the night before, Lord, please provide a way. I am not going 14 miles back to get someone's keys. Okay? He'll go, but I'm not going. And so I prayed about that. And that morning, we met four women that were headed in our direction. And they said, hey, we're right there. We'd be willing to take you back to your car. And I'm like, yes. And Rocco and I got in the car, and we began to share with these two young ladies. And talk about an opportunity to invite people to the banquet. And so we shared Christ and what he's done. These girls, whether they knew Christ or not, I do not know. They gave the appearance that maybe they know Christ. But sometimes you know, and then you know. And so I shared a bracelet that I wear, and it's very simple, the gospel message. And they were zeroed in. I don't know if those girls will come to know Christ, but a seed was planted. Why? Because I want them to be invited, and I want them to come to the banquet. I have a chance and an opportunity the end of July to go back to Honduras to invite people to come to the banquet. As these people come to this medical clinic, they will sit under an awning, and there will be 50 to 100 people that will sit there at a time waiting for their name to be called to come into the clinic. They're not going anywhere. It's a great opportunity to witness because they don't want to miss their name. And we'll go out and we'll share 5-6 times a day with different people as it rolls over, and we'll share with them about Christ, and we'll invite them to God's banquet. And many of them will receive that. And it is a wonderful time of celebration. But also many will reject it, and they will miss the opportunity. Friends, there are missed opportunities, and then there are opportunities you don't want to miss. This is an opportunity in this parable we do not want to miss for ourselves, nor do we want to miss it for those who we love and care around us. Invite them to the banquet. Help them to see what the banquet of the good news of Jesus Christ is. Because you know what? We want his house full, don't we? We want it full no matter who they are. Christ saved those people that we like, and Christ saved people that we may not like. He saved all.